Chapter 5. I ran from the hut in a panic. Once I was far away from that terrible sound, I slowed down and looked at my surroundings. I didn't know which way I had gone and didn't know how I would get back. I wasn't concerned with the future, my only aim was to survive from moment to moment. I just walked without a goal. The scenery changed every few minutes, and I saw how green the island was. All I had seen that morning was the beach on which we had landed and the hill towards the huts. I couldn't tell how big the island was. After the forest, I came to a sloping valley with various different plants. The sky was pretty blue color, and I felt calm on my walk. I was soon tired and needed to rest. I was in a forest again, but this one had a stream running through it. I found a tree with a smooth bark and sat down at the base, leaning my back comfortably against its trunk. The water in the river made a gentle splashing sound. The late afternoon sun was warm and made me want to sleep. It was like living in a dream, but earlier that day, I had felt like this island was a nightmare. I was relaxing with my eyes closed. When I opened my eyes, I was frightened by a sudden movement in the bushes. I laughed at myself when I saw that it was just a rabbit. But then I focused my eyes on the distance, and I saw something else. My heart caught in my throat. Momentarily, I could not breathe. What I saw was a man, but he was not like any man I expected to see in that forest. I didn't dare make a sound as I watched him creep forward on his hands and feet, walking like a gorilla or an orangutan. While I could have mistaken him for an ape, I saw that he was wearing clothing. Blue cloths were hung around his body. He had skin that was the color of copper and thick, black hair on his head. He crawled forward towards the stream. I gasped in amazement as he leant forwards and dipped his face towards the water, drinking by sucking the water up into his mouth. I leant forwards to get a better look. I accidentally knocked a small rock that was near my leg, which tumbled into the stream. The man stopped. He looked up and made eye contact with me. He immediately stood up and wiped drips of water from his mouth with the back of his hand. His legs were extremely short. I wondered how he could stand and walk at all. Perhaps that was why he went on his hands and fed? Because he was unable to walk? But this wasn't true. After a minute of giving me a hard stare, he turned and walked away into the forest. I didn't know what to think. I felt uncomfortable and didn't want to stay in that previously pleasant place by the stream. I stood up and stretched my arms and legs. I turned to go back the same way. It wasn't long until I came across something horrible. The air was thick with heat and buzzing with flies. In the clearing in front of me, I met with the injured body of a dead rabbit. "This rabbit won't be providing meat for Montgomery," I said to myself. I thought about the morning we had released the rabbits from the crate. This one had been killed horribly. Its head was almost completely torn off. There was a big mess of blood on the ground. Blood dripped from scratches and bite marks on the rabbit's body. I wondered what kind of beast had caused this damage to the creature. I wondered why it hadn't eaten the rabbit after killing it. Walking on, I heard a noise ahead of me and wondered if it was Montgomery and Moreau. As I drew closer, I could hear them more clearly. The voices were not those of men I knew. It sounded like they were talking in a foreign language. When I saw them, I stopped in my tracks. There were three of them crouched together in a clearing, and thankfully, they hadn't seen me. What were they? Their skin was a dull pink color, and they were strangely shaped. They were similar to Emling and the other savage creatures I'd met on the island. One was female, the other two were male. Three of them had fat faces with no chins, all rough hair on they stood, circling around as if doing some kind of dance. Their heads and short foreheads. I saw that they, too, had strangely short legs. One of them was saying something, and the others were repeating. It sounded like a chant you might repeat in a ritual. I felt sick. There was something so scary about watching these creatures who, at first glance, seemed human. However, the longer I looked at them, the more I felt there was something different about them. They were not just human. There was some hint of another animal in the way that they moved. When I realized it, I felt even more unwell. While they looked like humans, they really seemed to be more like pigs in their spirit. Pigs had more in common with the three creatures who staggered around in front of me. Quietly, I went into the forest and tried to find another way back to the huts. Now, it was starting to get dark. I was frightened of what creature I would meet next and if I was in any danger. I crept through the trees, looking at the sky as if it would tell me which way to go. The light was disappearing. On and on, I went, aiming as best I could for the huts. The cries of the puma made me want to leave, but now I wanted to go back. In the half-light, I saw something close to the ground, not far ahead. I stopped because I thought I could see a pair of feet. The feet stopped, too. They were feet without shoes. Was it Montgomery? I couldn't believe he would walk barefoot out in the forest. Suddenly, the feet disappeared. I didn't want to keep going, but I couldn't stay still. With my heart beating fast, I continued along the trodden path. Only moments later, I saw something ahead of me again. This time, I saw clearly that it was the man I had seen earlier, the one who had been drinking from the stream. He stopped and looked at me. I was frightened but knew I had to do or say something. "Who are you?" I called out to the man. He stared at me. "No," he shouted. He ran until I couldn't see him. There hadn't been anger in his voice, but I still felt afraid. I kept walking. Every so often, I saw the man, either ahead of me, behind me, or sometimes walking next to me. I looked around madly to see if I could spot the huts, but I had come deep into the island and didn't know where I was. I could hear the man's feet as he ran near me. It was like I was being chased. I felt afraid. "Who are you?" I called again, but there was no reply. I was panting and out of breath. I tripped on a rock. It was the size of a tennis ball, and I quickly picked it up. I thought I could use the rock and my handkerchief to protect myself. As I stood up again with the rock, leaves rustled nearby. The man was close, chasing me. I was happy to see I was on the edge of the forest near the beach. I stepped out onto the sand and saw the twinkle of lights in the huts. I was nearly there. But right behind me was the creature. He was definitely chasing me now. He was going to attack me. I ran, and my feet slipped in the dry, powdery sand on the beach. The creature was right behind me. I could almost feel his breath on the back of my neck. My body needed a rest after the chase, but I could not give in. I ran forward, my feet splashing at the water's edge. I knew that now was the time, and that the creature was about to get me. I twisted the rock into my handkerchief. I turned around quickly and flung it out behind me. There was a terrible crack sound as the rock hit his head. He fell forward into the wet sand with a thud. I didn't stop. My feet felt like they were on fire as I ran back up the beach and towards the enclosure. "Where have you been?" "You should have stayed here," Montgomery called. He was angry as I got to the huts. I tried to catch my breath to explain, but after the chase, I couldn't speak. I looked at him, and he saw the truth in my face. "Oh, I see. So you've met some of the creatures of this island, have you?" "No wonder you're frightened," Montgomery said with a smile. He took me into the hut. "Come on, I'll give you something to calm you down." I staggered into the hut and fell into one of the chairs. Montgomery went to the cabinet and brought me a glass of dark liquid. I presumed it was medicine and drank it. The liquid burned my throat. I found my voice and asked him questions about the islanders, what was wrong with them. Why did they look so strange? Why had that man crawled around on his hands and feet? When I asked that last question, Montgomery raised his eyebrows but didn't give me any answers. I was eager to know the truth, but I was also very tired. Montgomery helped me into the bed and told me to rest. I closed my eyes and heard the lock on the door as he left. When I woke up in the morning, I felt much more relaxed than the day before. The deep sleep had made me feel better. It was already mid-morning, but I could have slept even longer. I lay my head back down on the pillow. Moments later, I jumped out of bed with fright when I heard a terrible sound. My first thought was about the puma and the pain it was feeling. It was the reason why I had run from the compound the day before, but this was different. It didn't sound like the puma. It sounded human. What was Dr. Moreau doing? Was he torturing Montgomery or one of the other men on the island? I had to help. I rushed towards the interior door and turned the handle. It was unlocked, and I stumbled out into the next room. What I saw was pure horror. Moreau was there, and in front of him was a creature tied to a rack. It was gory, bloody, and nothing like the biological laboratories I was used to. The creature lifted its head sadly and looked at me with eyes full of pain. Moreau turned too, with his eyes furious. He dropped his tools, which clattered to the ground, and ran at me. "Get out," he screamed. "Out." He ran and grabbed me by my shirt and threw me back into the bedroom. I crashed to the floor. Before I could say anything, he had slammed the door behind him. He locked it, calling out, "You're disturbing my work, you fool." I lay on the floor, panting and terrified. While the noise had sounded human, the thing on the rack hadn't looked human to me. What was it? The creature looked a little like a puma, but a little like a human. What was Moreau doing in there? I made a promise that the next time I met with Montgomery, I would force him to give me the answers. In that moment, I felt danger all around me and feared for my life.